on Downtown at 4:45. Rich Kimble, Carrie Haskell here with you. Bruce Pratt joining us in studio, and like he does every week at this time, Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese gracing our presence for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Welcome, sir.
Oh, hi. Oh, I think this is a very hot mic. I feel good knowing good. That Bruce apparently has committed a culinary sin equal to mine. that's really, folks out there, red wine and fresh seafood don't necessarily mix in the same recipe.
Yes.
You may like to drink scallops. Red wine with whatever seafood, that's okay, but don't go marinating salmon in red wine or scallops.
Learn from the mistakes we've all made.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So as Rich mentioned before the break, we're traveling to South Africa today. We're wrapping up our world tour, heading South Africa, and then going to Australia, New Zealand, and then kind of doing the year in review. But South Africa, really, really interesting wine scene going on there for the last 20 or so years. And we'll get to why that's been happening in the last 20 or so years. But we'll talk a little bit about South Africa. Not a lot of people get there. It is a very, very long trip. I myself have not been there. I hope to go because it is apparently the most beautiful vineyard land anywhere in the world. But that doesn't say I don't know a little something about it. So trust me here.
We always do.
I wouldn't. No, I said that out loud. But no, it's kind of a ways to get to, and not a lot of folks in the wine industry have a chance to get there. At least at my level, you really have to kind of be a little higher up in the ranks, and or be an importer there specifically devoted to exporting wines, because it's not like you can quickly jaunt to another country like you can in Europe and maybe grab some Spanish wines along with your French portfolio. No, you're kind of dedicated to South Africa as a thing. Although one of the big guys right now that's kind of proving that wrong is the guy who brings in the wine that we'll talk about today, a guy named Michael Broadbent. But South Africa is sort of one of my favorite wine regions because it is both super new on the radar and super old as a wine region. It is very much a European-styled wine region, much as the Argentine and Chilean and Uruguayan wines we talked about last month. And of course, the reason that there is vinifera there is because the Europeans brought it. About 80% of South Africa's population is sub-Saharan African. But of course, the wine industry was dominated originally by the Dutch East India Company, and then later by British colonialism with their thirst for European-style wines. And they brought down all manner of European vines, and you find, again, like you do in other places, some parts of the Middle East and in North and South America, you find these groupings of grapes that have no real known analog in Europe, so you get really cool opportunities to see things that wouldn't necessarily exist in the old world, despite the fact that it kind of is the old world. So as I was saying, the thing that kind of really affected modern wine industry in South Africa as we know it was, of course, the fact that for many, many, many years, the government was under, how does one put this? A government that favored whites.
Yes,
a lot. And also, it was very authoritarian, and the wine industry itself became very authoritarian. There was a very large cooperative that basically defined South African wine for a long, long time. I'm going to try to do this. You must forgive me. My Afrikaans, which is derived from Dutch, is a little rusty. But is the Coöperatieve Wijnbouwers Vereniging van Zuid-Afrika. Also known as the KWV, and that's what I'll refer to it as from here on out. But it was basically a boys' club. It was really, really dedicated to mass-produced junk. Most of it sold inland, in-country, and not for export. And it was behind the times in a lot of ways, very much like the Portuguese wine industry was behind the times. But it turned out to be a good thing because in 1994, when that whole system went by the wayside, there was all these beautiful, beautiful old vines, bush vines and stuff that all these young, dynamic wine growers went in and just voraciously brought back to life. And so now there's over 6,000 wineries, I believe, in Africa, in South Africa, and a lot of them very small production, high quality oriented wineries, much like the Badenhorst winery that we're going to talk about today. The other really interesting thing before we talk about this specific wine is that South Africa boasts the oldest geology in the known wine growing world, right? So if you think about where the crust of the earth is being made and then also subsumed in the middle of the oceans and things like this, the South African land is the most ancient rock that you find growing this vinifera. And subsequently, the granite and the sandstone really naturally restrict the vigor of these vines and do what you want to do to vines to create good vines and make them struggle. So that's very, very interesting. And also it's a very biodiverse land, and so it's a very, very good agricultural spot just in general, in addition to, as I mentioned, being beautiful. So there are a pair of cousins, and I love their website, the description of these guys. So this is direct quote from the website of the Badenhorst Winery. The property is owned by the dynamic and good-looking cousins, Hein and Adi Badenhorst.
Is this a Trump affiliate?
They're fantastic people. They have all the best wines. But really cool. So as I mentioned, ancient wine growing region. The first known vineyard planted there was actually planted on the Cape of Good Hope. It's called Groot Constantia. And it's literally surrounded by water, essentially, right out on the Cape there. And the grandfather of these winemakers was the farm manager at Groot Constantia for 40-some years. And the winemaker, Hein, presumably the better-looking of the good-looking cousins, made his first wine there at age 13. So it's obviously in his blood, and he's been doing it forever. These guys, along, as I said, there's a host of investment and improvement in some of these old wine structures. They bought a barn that was built in the 1930s, restored it, and have 28 hectares that they are farming biodynamically in conjunction with the movements of the stars and such, the way that, frankly, in my opinion, all the best wines are being made these days. And they're taking these, you know, 100-year-old bush vines and just making wonderful wines. So the wine we're having right now is their red blend. This sells for under $20 a bottle, and it is mostly Shiraz, but it's, again, it's this really cool amalgamation of all these European grapes. So the grape Sasso that you find in the Rhone Valley, Grenache, of course, a primary Rhone grape, Cabernet Sauvignon from the Bordeaux region, Tinta Barroca, which you find in Portugal, Pinotage, which is a grape native to South Africa. It was a hybrid made for South Africa. Mourvèdre and Carignan. So just this crazy cool blend. Super juicy, super accessible.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really nice. They have a Chenin Blanc, so a monovarietal Chenin Blanc. Again, a grape that you'd find in France's Loire Valley at the same price point. And they have some lower-end wines that we carry. And also Bob up at Novio's carries their little red blend. So wines from the Badenhorst Winery are definitely wines to get to know. They're affordable. They're impressive and satisfying. So, yeah. But I should mention that they're located in a region that's just north of Cape Town called the Swartland, which is the region that has been massively turned around since 1994 and the fall of apartheid. So really a place, if you get a chance to go to South Africa and you have the opportunity to talk to me, I can probably set you up with visits to some of these places as well. So don't miss the opportunity, because I think you'd have a very good time. And if you want to bring me along, I'm willing.
Well, there you go. What do we all think of this, Bruce?
Well, if I knew how to make this when I was 13, I would not currently be 65 years old. Mm. This is really good. I'm really impressed with this.
Gary?
Yeah, I'm finding I enjoy reds much more than the whites.
Yeah.
I'm learning more about wine. There's a main benefit of being on the show with Rich.
There you go.
There you go. It's
beautiful.
The best guest list.
Yes.
And, it's... I love wines that you can find that you can enjoy with just about anything, and I would say that their wines are along those lines. And check out, I mean, there's really wonderful wines from South Africa that we're not even mentioning. Things from the Stellenbosch region, wines from the winery Groot Constantia. It's still there since 1649. It's producing wonderful Sauvignon Blanc, for instance. Mulderbosch, just all these wonderful wineries. So check them out.
But do not marinate your salmon in this.
Do not marinate your salmon in this red wine.
Seemed to me that 10 years ago, we saw a lot of African wines. And then they weren't there for a while. Now they seem to be back.
I think that's true. There was certainly... So I mentioned the grape Pinotage, which I think a lot of people sort of took as, you know, a Pinot Noir substitute, and it really wasn't that. And I think that was the wrong way of marketing it. So anyway, next week...
Tasting next Wednesday, right?
Oh, yes, that's right. The 14th, next Wednesday. Do come and taste wines and holiday favorites, I think.
And where do we go on our journey next Tuesday?
Either New Zealand or Australia, depending on whether my hobbit feet come in the mail.
I look forward to either eventuality. It's
right on.
Wonderful.
I mean, it's radio, so I could just lie.
There you go. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese, Message in the Bottle every Tuesday on Downtown. Stop in and say hello to Eric and everybody there at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor as
they're
we wrap
now.
Up hour one. They're there. They're working there. While
I'm
you're
not.
Here. No.
Yeah.